Listen to this.
Zakawani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? Brad Evans.
It's not again.
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakawani.
Evans with the left one.
He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Side by Side. The Sounders obviously in somewhat of a bye week this week. It's an international window, but Sounders very much still going in the playoffs. We will recap that win against FC Dallas. I think we all predicted a win. I said it'd be 2 or 3-0, but no, 1-0, and it should have been. But we'll get into that. We'll preview a little bit of LAFC. We'll do more of that next week. And then we have a very special guest, obviously no stranger to the Sounders or to the club. Taylor Graham is here with us, so we'll kind of just pick his brain and talk about a lot of stuff. And also want to talk about The Rain, who, I watched that game, oh my God, unfortunately fell short in the final against Gotham FC. But let's begin with the Sounders. And I want to ask you both one question here. So, 2-0 win, 3-1 loss, 1-0 win. I think the over is at 4-3. I'm doing very quick maths and I'm terrible.
Yeah, no, that was, yeah.
Is that closer than you thought it would have been going into it? Sounders Dallas over 3 games, 4-3.
Yeah, for me, I think so. It's just really tough to, you know, dominate in the playoffs anyways.
Yeah.
And we've had home and aways against Dallas before where it's been, you know, at home, the team that won at home won the series. And if you look at, you know, the entire playoffs, I think the team that won the first game ended up winning the entire series through all series. So that home field advantage was massive. And, you know, you go down, you get your, you know, your tail between your legs in the first 10, 15 minutes, but then you come back and you learn from that. And the Sounders came out and played well, but they lose two of their best players over the course of the series. Yeah, and that changes things. Sometimes you train on stuff and you think it's going to be a bit more predictable than it is. And then they add players and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, I didn't train for this. I didn't train to play against a player like this. What was going through my mind for 6 days is that I'm playing against Ferreira and I have one thing on my mind. And then all of a sudden it's someone else who's a different dynamic who may play that position a little bit different. And, you know, credit to the Sounders for ultimately putting in what was a professional performance in front of an awesome crowd and, you know, getting the job done. I don't think it was necessarily, did I think it was going to be close? I thought it was two good teams. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, the Sounders got it done.
What do you think, Taylor?
Well, first, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. The special guest thing comes with a little bit of an asterisk. I think that 5 other people canceled, and I got to show up, and you're like, hey, you want to come and talk shop? And I said, absolutely. Look, I think there's a bunch of different ways you could look at the playoff series versus Dallas. You could look at it at the aggregate scoring, which we just did, or you could look at it as periods in which we outplayed our opponent, which we can.
Yeah.
And I would say of the 6 halves, we were the better team in 5 of the 6 halves.
Agreed.
Did it translate into a comprehensive more goals for us? No. Did we outshoot them 16-1 in the third match? Yes. Man, that if that goal Christian had slotted away from Jordan's little tiptoe in the box, it would have been a completely different match. But at the end of the day, like, playoffs is a game of margins, and it's those who take advantage of their opportunities, which we did to some degree, not all. Mm-hmm. But you got to figure out how to fight through, because anyone can beat anyone on any given night. And we have a deep, rich playoff history with Dallas, and we've been able to get through margins. It, very, very rarely is it a comprehensive victory. Even that 4-3 epic overtime match, again, it was back and forth and back and forth. And in the first 20 minutes of that match, you're thinking, like, this might be 3-0. And there you are in overtime getting a 4-3 victory. So every single playoff match will bring something that you don't expect. Can we build off of what we saw in this best-of-three series 100%? Was it tied at the end and was my heart rate up 100%? But part of winning championships is battling through and testing your resiliency, and the team did that.
Yeah, we spoke, Brad and I, a couple weeks ago about how we're so used to Sounders being this free-flowing attacking team, sort of from day one, where it's goals, you know, and then especially in recent years when Jordan's flying and Nico's flying and Raul's flying. This year is almost the opposite, and it goes to you two are defenders, more defensive players than I was, where Stefan Fry, I think he matched his career shutouts. Yes, he matched them. And it was defending that got us through the playoffs, at least. I mean, conceded the goals down in Dallas, but kept two clean sheets out of three games. And that's been the key. Did you learn anything about the Sounders from this series? Or is this pretty much what we have been this season, where chances, yeah, like premium goals, maybe not as free-flowing as before as they used to be, but we can shut out pretty much anybody at this point?
Well, it looks like a balanced team right now. Yeah. I think goals coming from different places now that, you know, Rusnak is kind of catching fire. I think we asked a lot of questions of the team at the middle part of the season because it was, you know, a pretty good start to the season. And then there was that dip. And we asked a lot of questions of this roster, how deep it is, you know, and who was going to kind of step up and come off the bench. But at the end of the day, you're going to win MLS Cup when you're at your probably healthiest, mm-hmm. right? Dallas, when they lost two of those guys, I don't think there's any way, even if they beat the Sounders somehow, they're not winning MLS Cup. Yeah. And so I just think you're seeing a Sounders team that is finally healthy, and they've gotten to train together for finally an extended period of time. And there's a lot to continuity, right? We always want to be stepping into a game where we are prepared, mm-hmm. there's no questions. I want to go into a practice knowing that the guy to my right, left, in front of me, behind me, whatever it is healthy and ready to go. And I think that's the team that you're seeing right now.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about the culture. We talk a lot about winning tradition like Taylor did. What more could you ask for from the Sounders squad now that it's a first choice lineup for the coaching staff? Maybe not some of the guys on the bench that think they should be playing right now.
Yeah.
But you can't argue with results at the end of the season and now into a conference semifinal. And so that has to be motivation, and I don't think there's any questions that the Sounders can make another deep push. Thankfully, this game is at home, right? I think that is so key, playing LAFC.
Yeah. Seeding matters, that's why, yeah.
But also that's a team that went to Vancouver and got the job done and played on turf and looked like they were absolutely flying. So I'm excited for what's going to be a massive game, and I think this is going to be a high-flying game. I don't know if we have predictions on score or we're going to see who's going to come out and play which way, but it does have overtime period. It does have, you know, penalty kicks at the end of it, so you might see a little bit something different here from each squad. But if I'm the Sounders, we always told, let's go. First minute, let's go.
You think we'll see that against LFC?
I think so.
Toe to toe.
I think so. I think at home you have to. Mm. I think your first 10 minutes you go, and if you sit back and allow them, those front three, to press you, they're better than FC Dallas, those front three for LAFC. And so if you think that you're just going to absorb pressure, you're going to break down at least once, at least twice. LAFC's going to get chances. I think we have to be on the front foot for the first 10. And then if we realize, okay, we can settle back and maintain possession. But I think if we come out and we just sit back, we're going to be under the gun for 90 plus.
Yeah. Do you like the matchup?
Oh, sorry. See, one thing on Fry, just before we move on, he's actually going to record his 17th. He is going to record his 17th clean sheet this year, which is insane.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. 17th.
Unbelievable. And I think it's 6 years later, so it's consistency. I mean, Taylor, do you like the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I like the matchup from a fan perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, these are the two heavyweights going head to head, and I'm biased. It doesn't mean I'm wrong, but this is the best matchup in the next series across Major League Soccer. No doubt about it. Back to your question, did we learn anything? Mm-hmm. I would say probably not, but we got reminders of the same themes and trends we've been talking about for a long time, which is we're great at the back, and Steph continues to get shutouts, and it starts at the top. So it's a full comprehensive defensive performance. This is a team that can create chances, but has lacked the lethal step on teams' throats in terms of putting them away and changing matches. Yeah. This is a team that loves to control the game and can be explosive on the counter, and through Leo and Jordan up top, they can be dangerous and they can score goals. This is a team that's extremely deep, that's peaking at the right moment, which is leading to a lot of tough lineup conversations.
Yeah.
And this is a team that's playing at home, and that is very clear now. You win, you're at home, and so the next two at home, it changes the way that you think about these matches and the lineups you put on, because the Sounders play differently at home than on the road.
Absolutely.
And you have to weather the storm differently at different times. Brad, you said day one, you got to go at them. It's interesting. I think that there's going to be a little bit of calculated first 5 minutes in the beginning, but it's
how do you harness the emotion of the biggest matchup in under the lights at a marquee moment in the season, but you also don't extend yourself too far and go out of your skis, yeah. But also you want to put your stamp on this game and do what we haven't been able to do, which is to change games early and yeah. force teams to chase you. Because that's actually something the Sounders have not done consistently, with the exception of probably three matches early on against Colorado, Salt Came Lake, front, and yeah. Yeah. and St. Louis. Those are those matches where you're looking at the goal scoring in the first 2 months and you're saying, not looking at breaking your shutout record, you're actually looking at breaking your goal scoring record.
Yeah, yeah.
And so our expected goals yeah. is super high, but your actual goal output maybe hasn't been there. There's 15 or 16 guys that can change every single game in a given moment, and that's the luxury of peaking at the right time and being healthy.
I just think if I'm Bouanga, I'm every time I get the ball, I'm flying.
Yeah,
I'm just flying. Yeah. And if the Sounders think that we can just sit back and try to keep possession and play through that at you know every chance we get, yeah, I think that you're right. There has to be a conscious effort to mix up your game a little bit. It can't just be go, go, go. But I think he and those front three are going to go yeah. every single time.
But that's what they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they do at home. That's DNA. What they do on yeah. the road.
Yeah. And so we shouldn't expect anything. You change it because go back to the first game. Ferreira had two massive chances. They came from Sounders trying to build out the back and giveaways. If that's LAFC who also press, it's probably in the back of the net. So do you go a bit more direct and maybe say, okay, early on, we're trying to turn them around. I don't know if Schmetz will because he loves to control the game and that's the way it is, but my fear is turnover in the final third, Vela, Bouanga, different story.
Yeah.
So do you change or do you kind of stick to who you've been?
Well, I think you... For me, if I'm JP or Rusnak, my most important job is to get Leo Chu involved in the game yeah, early.
Have to.
Without having to give him the ball and make him just run at defenders. Mm. I think there's got to be some sort of creativity to, and it's on Leo Chu too. I mean, yeah. he came to life a little bit in the second half where he mixed up his play a little bit instead of just putting his head down and go. They have to look for those combinations to break down defenses with Leo Chu and get him involved early because he gets frustrated after 30, 40 minutes. And if he's, you know, the right back for FC Dallas was yeah, matched him
yeah,
speed
yeah, yeah.
speed for speed, pace for pace, and Leo didn't have an answer for that. And so how do you do that? You yeah. work on that for the next 2 weeks. Absolutely. Okay, stay wide, let the play develop, stay wide. When you receive it, Albert's going to come across, and we're looking for the 1-2 every single time.
Yeah.
And then you pin back the right back, and then you'll pick up the ball with more space and opportunity to drive. So I think there's little things that the Sounders right. can yeah. do to,
yeah. I hope he's having
to get him more involved.
Yeah, because I mean, if I was playing against San Jose, Chris Leach, for example, very tactical, very smart, but I know I'm faster than him. So I'm just like, give me the ball, I'm running yeah. at him. But then I come against Marvell Wynn, I can't run past him.
Right.
I have to change my game. So I hope Leo Chu is having those convos, watching the tapes and talking to different people. I want to talk about Albert as well because Nico's been the man at this club for so long. Albert's got the number 10 role. It's his. And he's coming up with important goals. He's scoring. He does it in his own way. How have you guys seen Albert's game as a whole? Is he filling those shoes as he should? Can we still get more? And I'm saying that critically because I'm such a big fan of his, and I mean, he's scoring big goals right now.
Yeah.
But I still feel like he can even be better. And he's been really good.
You go first.
Yeah, well, I think for me, the biggest change has been the guys who are around him that let yeah. Albert operate as trying to be as much as a pure number 10 as possible. I think when it was, Jordan on the left or Nico on the right, like both of those guys sometimes like to come inside and that yeah. space just gets too crowded. And I think I think that's the reason for Leo Chu out wide, Jordan up top, because Jordan will stretch. He's not going to come back as much as Raul does to receive the ball at his feet. So if he operates more in between the two center backs, Leo Chu stays wide, Christian stays wide, there's so much more room mm. for Albert to operate and try to, he can still shade left and right. And he's not really going to pick out those like crazy killer passes every game, but the space that he occupies is so key, right? He's always finding those pockets in between the center backs and the six, or if it's two sixes. And that's where, you know, that leaves more space for Atencio to then get forward too. It leaves more room for JP just to operate and patrol. So I think previous formations just haven't been beneficial to Albert. And even when he was on the left or on the right, sometimes he would still come inside so much. And so I just think he has more freedom now, and he's got that confidence. But all it takes is multiple games, multiple goals, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, I'm playing well. Yeah. Like, let's go.
His results in terms of impact and goal scoring speak for itself. I think Nico's strengths are his strengths. Nico is the best sounder in club history, in my personal opinion. I'll go on the record and say that right now. But what he brings is a constant movement and a frenetic energy that brings to the match. He pops up everywhere. He's constantly moving. Albert's calm. He brings a tranquility to the match. And even when he's in tight spaces, the way that he slows the game down, and sometimes you have to slow the game down to speed it back up, right? And so that's what he does. The consistency of where he shows up in little pockets changes the game and unlocks more of a consistency from the others around him, whether that's Josh, whether that's Leia, or whether that's Jordan. And to some degree, these are both two teams that thrive in transition with space in behind. You talked about their front three just going and going and going. That's actually where Leo and Jordan's strengths are too, is when there are more spaces to go into. And what's interesting is you might maximize the pace of some of our guys when you win the ball in midfield and you go quickly, but you also maximize some of the possession and the confidence from Albert in tight spaces, right? So you get a little bit of both about how those systems can play through each other. He can get in behind that we saw in the game winner against Dallas, and he can sit back and he can become a facilitator. But having Albert kind of tinkering around anywhere between 25 and 12 yards from the goal is a very dangerous spot for him to be in.
Yeah, no, I agree. Have we liked the best of three format overall?
I mean, as a player, I'd rather have two.
Yeah.
If you're going to do anything, you know, instead of three,
it's tough.
Three is a lot of games to play.
Same team.
It's
tough. Yeah.
I get rid of it and just play. If you're going to do the first round, do a two game aggregate, no PKs.
Yeah.
And even if it ends at regulation, you're saving legs and, you know, puts more onus on. I think those games will be even faster if that's what you're looking for. More intense are those. But then the question is, like, you want to play away from home first and then come back home.
We've done both ways.
Done
it, but we went to Salt Lake and we lost 3-0.
Right.
Went to LA and lost 3-0. And they're coming home having to do a miracle. Yeah. I almost think you want to play at home first and just win. Just get a result, honestly. I don't know. That's a interesting one, because I've been on both sides of
What's the perception from the front office on the best of three?
Is that what I am? I'm just in the front office now.
Where do you work?
I work for the club. We are one club. So the way I look at it is, I want three matches if we're the number two seed. I want three matches if we're the one or the two seed and we're playing at home. And so it actually gives a benefit to the teams that finished higher in the regular season, because the chance to win one match and come back and finish it off at home is a massive advantage. It's harder to win a two-legged battle than it is a best of three. It's interesting. The playoffs journey for Major League Soccer has been super interesting. Playoffs in general is an American concept, right? That is not what the global soccer. So even playoffs in general, even when you use a format that is understood globally of the home and away, you're tapping into this sports fan who understands playoffs, but you're like the global soccer. Tell me about this aggregate thing. So you're straddling both lines between the American system and the global soccer system. It's almost like they went all in with the American system here, right? Because you got a playoff concept, which is understood in American sports, and you have a best of three concept, which is understood in American sports. I like it as a number two seed because we got to play match three at home. I like it from the ability for every market to engage their local fans and actually host a match. I think that's really important for clubs to get in the postseason. And we as a league need to figure out how to make sure our playoffs are 3 and 4 and 5x more relevant in everything we do in the postseason, and the ability to do that at home is way more impactful than it is on the road.
I think that's a great point. You're kind of telling every team, if you make the playoffs, you get a home game, and that's kind of that's great incentive. That's a very good point. The Sounders will be back at home. They've earned it above LAFC. That's going to be a fantastic game. And then actually, let's talk one more thing on this playoffs. Houston and
Kansas City.
Who would you like? Let's not look too far ahead in that matchup.
Either one of those.
It's tough at this point.
Either one of those. I think, but
Kansas scares me more. I'll say that.
Yeah, but I just, the way that Houston plays is unlike any other team in Major League Soccer. The way that they combine and Bassi is, they really do something special.
Yeah.
And when I watch them, it's very free flowing. And I'm actually happy for Houston to finally have
that team.
That team that's playing well. Yeah. They've got Herrera, who, when I watch him, he plays like Clint, when I watch him, the way that he moves his body and out of tight space, I've never seen a player that moves like Clint.
Yeah.
And he does that. If you really watch him,
shout
that he moves like him. He sees passes like Clint does. He his ability to serve a ball. It's very similar how they strike a ball, how they carry themselves. It's actually kind of bizarre when I watch him.
But he sits deeper. That's what's so confusing is he's like he actually is in an Albert like position.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he has that that confidence, and just the game slows down where it needs. It's been fun to watch them. I think the thing that's been most surprising to me is when I think of Ben Olsen and the fingerprints he leaves on organizations, I think of the old teams that have the Pablo Mascherani style, which is tough tackling, good artwork. And this team's got a little bit of a tiki-taka style in the way that they play. And some of the goals that they've scored this year.
Yeah,
unreal.
Ben, he's done a great, great job. Sounders, we'll leave the broadcast stuff until next week, Kelia.
We'll
touch a bit more on that, but that's the matchup. Away from that, there is another Seattle team that had a chance to win a championship. I don't know if you guys watched or not, but the OL Reign fell short. I did watch that game, and obviously after 5-6 minutes, couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was like, this has to be a joke. Yeah. But you knew something. You knew right away it was, you know, by Megan's reaction. Brad, I don't want to say it in a bad way, but you've lost the final, an MLS Cup final. I heard LeBron James say one time, because he kept losing finals. He's like, I'd rather not even get here and just losing the first round because I'm getting so close and I keep losing.
LeBron really said that?
He did say that.
I hate that
years
so
ago.
Much.
He said that. He said he's thinking that, like, is it even worth it? Now, Reign, Laura Harvey, they've got, I think it's the third time they've got there, and you just keep falling short. If you saw the game, what did you make of the game? And just in general, how tough is it losing the championship game?
Yeah, well, the first thing is they play at a neutral location, which I can't stand.
San Diego 2 weeks in a row or whatever they do.
Yeah, and so, I mean,
Major League Soccer used to do it too.
I know, we played New York with Columbus in LA.
That was in LA,
Columbus versus New York, where at that time, New York came over to the West and we ended up playing. It was like, what is happening?
New York was the Western Conference champion that faced Columbus, and you played in Los Angeles.
Yes, I remember that.
And I mean, the crowd is the crowd, but it's a very neutral crowd. And I think if they would have played that game here in Seattle or you know, in New Jersey, like I think it would have been just a better atmosphere and a better game overall. But yeah, you saw her go down instantly. You knew I knew it was Achilles pop because no one was around her. She looked back, grabbed her ankle. It's game over. And I remember playing here against Connor Casey in Colorado, and we had laid down the grass over the turf, and there was no one around him, and he went to like move.
That's a good
he,
memory.
Like turned around like he was going to hit someone. Someone kicked him, and there was no one within 5-10 yards, and it was an Achilles too. And you just hate to see that. Like that just, I mean, it took the wind out of the sails for 15-20 minutes for the Reign to get back in the game. But Rose Lavelle, next level. The way that she sees the game and plays the game is unlike any other player. And I thought Sonnet was fantastic as well in the midfield. The way that she controls, you know, the center of the pitch is good. But, you know, Gotham's a good team.
Very good team.
I think they deserve to win that game on that day with all the circumstances. So, I mean, a crazy ending to the game. I thought they might pull one out, but, you know, free kick, you take off a keeper. Keeper's like, what am I doing? Like, do we have subs left? I don't even know. It was a wild one.
I'll take losing in finals every day over not making the playoffs.
That's crazy.
It's an experience.
These experiences they will get over the finish line for sure. It's disappointing it didn't have. I mean, when did Megan go down? Like 45, 50 seconds in?
She had a cross, and then her next play was there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm superstitious, maybe not as superstitious. Who was it that came out and said they wear the same underwear? Patrick Mahomes. Maybe not that superstitious. I'm still superstitious when it comes to sport and routines. When I see something happen like that early, it either I look at it as either is this how tonight's going to go? Mm-hmm. Is this thing, is that indicative of the way? And it's either going to galvanize teams. Yeah. And I was curious whether the entire team was going to come together and just say, like, I know this is not what we prepared for, but this is what is going to make this group get over the top. And this is how difficult the moment. Or is it going to be the thing you're like, we didn't get a break. Yeah. This is the type of breaks that we get in these finals.
I mean, they had a chance to tie it 2-2.
Yeah. The chances, the play through, the chance at the end. So you look at these as you're like, gosh, it wasn't our night. So you could use as the omen that happened in the first minute and kind of spread that over the course of the rest of the match. But
yeah,
I'm gutted. My heart hurt. My heart still hurts in terms of I hate to see stories end like that. The facial expression of just laughter is like you can't script.
Yeah, right. She took it well. Yeah, yeah.
And so for me, I'm equally as gutted for the group that's still trying to win their first championship, and they keep putting themselves in great situations, and then mostly for Megan's career. I mean, like, it's not going to change the legacy at all. It's just one of those things. Like, really, are you serious? Like, this is the way it's going to end. On the field, but we know that the story will continue just in a very, very different capacity.
Yeah, tough to see her go out like that and tough to see the rain lose, but they did. Before we go, since we do have you here, Taylor, obviously the sound is next year's a massive year for the club. I know a lot of prep has been going into it. We're recording this from the brand new facility, but it's still, every time I come here week by week, and it's just every week it's looking better and better. Like, the grass is starting to look really good. It just looks really good, right? I don't know if there's anything specific or not, but just in general, how much is the club really, obviously the team is focused on LAFC in general, but everyone else sort of that's running the organization for the 50th year. I mean, it just very few American soccer teams have that kind of history. And the Sounders is so much history. I mean, the amount of players and the campaign that came out was fantastic and all of that. Just how much has gone into that in just like making sure that we really acknowledge our history here and include the end of NASL days, the USL days, and the whole club. Yeah.
Well, I think the last time I was on the podcast, I didn't have a voice, and we had just launched the Evolved brand. It was still super fun. I think it was the foundation of where we want to go for the next 50 years. Yeah. Today, the club launched a custom Gazelle. I don't know if you're going to rock those. You got to check them out. What I would say is it brings our Evolved brand to life in a unique way that we wouldn't have been able to do. Mm. There were three global soccer clubs that launched custom Gazelles today with Adidas.
Wow.
Sounders, Manchester United, and Real Madrid.
That's huge.
So when I think of the Sounders being one of three people in a conversation, this is a club that for sure is grassroots and scrappy and gritty and is still going to have the same mentality that we had in the NASL and the USL.
Yeah.
But we're moving into world-class facilities. Mm-hmm. And so to be a big club, to be a global brand, you have to connect with your history and heritage in a way that's going to allow you to grow. This facility is one of those places.
Yeah.
And so, yes, the amenities are going to be amazing. What's understated, as I think the opportunity for the club to all be under the same roof.
For sure.
For the full culture of this club to influence every single person who wears the badge to drive the brand and the business forward. I think that's going to be a massive opportunity. And ultimately, like, next year is a high visibility moment, and it's a cultural moment for this club where we get to dive into the archives and really engage an old audience and those who know the nuances of this club and what makes it special. But this is a growth opportunity where we have to figure out how to reach new people and pull them into the next 50 years. Yeah. That's what the brand identity was built around. Hopefully that's what this facility is. Mm-hmm. This facility is not being built to be a walled off moat where no one's able to come. This is a place where we want our fans and community to come and to engage with the club in new and unique ways. That's always been a part of Starfire to some degree, but it was more like we're training next to the soccer tournament over here.
Yeah.
Now we actually get to throw parties and invite people down to our space to engage with our history and our heritage in fun different capacities. Look, I think you guys know what the facilities were when we joined Major League Soccer in 2009. It was kind of best in class, and you walk in, you say, this is a big club. That is not the current facilities, the way that they're operating, and we get the next chance to do it. And we're building it not for best in class of Major League Soccer, but best in class of global football, which hopefully continues to put us in more conversations with Real Madrid and Manchester United. I'm not talking about from a payroll or a fan perspective, but that's who we want to be in conversations with. And this facility is going to be built to be able to host those types of clubs where they walk in and say, wow, yeah. this yeah. club has a deep history. They know how to do things right. And these facilities unlock the best of people and yeah. players to perform at the highest level.
Yeah. What? Well, I did an assembly today at a school, and there were at least, you know, five teachers wearing the jersey and, you know, 15 to 20 kids wearing Sounders apparel. And they're all between, you know, kindergarten all the way up to fifth grade. And so you talk about that next evolution, yeah. like it's happening before our eyes.
Crazy.
Right. And the impact that we're making on the computer, on the community and getting out there. And then we have this facility. What are some of the, yeah. give us like three highlights of what you thought was like really important for downstairs. It could be anything, whether there's a meal, whatever it is, whatever first comes to mind.
Yeah, so we're actively trying to build the player spaces and the first floor spaces to yeah. be to player first, right? And so step number one is to make sure that we have all of the things that they want to see in this space, that when they walk in day one, they're like, this is a big club. One of our biggest differentiators is our history and heritage. We yeah. talked about it with the brand identity. And when you walk in that door that first year, you're walking in as part of a group that's trying to win multiple championships in 2024, but you're part of a history of 50 years of competing and winning championships. Like that needs to bleed into every single person, and the excellence that's required from putting on this kit and the part of the community that's been a part of this for 50 years, like they got to live and breathe that. When you look at clubs who have just launched facilities, and the last two that I've seen have been Miami
yeah.
and Charlotte,
yeah.
and you see the fly-throughs and you see the walls and you see these spaces, you know, your eyes get big and you say that they've got all their things to perform. It doesn't have the richness of our history and our heritage that needs to come across that differentiates us.
Yeah.
And so how we bring our brand to life and our commitment to community to life, not only through our new system, but the players that have worn the kits for 50 years, for the assemblies that we've been a part of for the last 50 yeah. years, and the trophies that we've lifted over the last 50 years, it needs to be all of the above, because our recipe is different than all these other clubs, but we have a recipe and the recipe has worked. It's evolving and it's changing. But I think that's what's different for downstairs is we get to pull in these stories with a depth and a richness that other clubs don't.
Yeah.
And so that's our biggest opportunity, and it's what we have to focus on getting right for whether you've played 300 matches for the club like Christian or whether you're trying and aspiring to play as part of our academy system. Like you got to be able to walk in and say, I'm a part of something special, but I'm a part of a big club, big B, big C.
I think that's a great point. I think it's what the club's always done well. And as you were talking, I'm literally sitting there thinking, I'm like, I came out of college joining an expansion team. I never felt like an expansion team. It definitely felt like a continuation. I looked in the locker room and there's Roger, there's Taylor, there's Zach, there's Schmetz. It's like there was the Sounders DNA. We weren't all brand new, right? Some of us were new, but I think that continuation of guys who've been here, you know what the Sounders mean. I think that was what the club did really, really well with. Yes, it's an expansion team, but the standards of this is when we're going the first year, Portland, the famous game, the
sweet job.
Yes, we know that. But I remember from that game was the night before Brian Schmetzer's team talk. Like Ziggy always talked, but for that game, he let Schmetzer talk. And I mean, I was ready to run through a wall right there, like the passion, right? Yeah. So it's like that was not an expansion team. And I think, and this is no disrespect, but someone like as good as St. Louis did, for example, as good as they did, that of LAFC or whoever it is, there's not that. LAFC began in whatever, 20, whatever it was. The Sounders doesn't ever feel like it was 09. That's the MLS iteration, but there was such a strong continuation from what we've been before. And I walk around and I saw a guy the other day with like a very old Sounders jersey. And I approached him and I went to a game when Pelé came or whatever. And it's like, these people are still here. And like, that's under the Sounders name. So you're absolutely right. I think it's a very unique club in that sense. Like, it reminds me of in England where like Arsenal since 1910 or whatever the year may be, like these teams run 100 years or 70 years, and you don't get that much in US soccer at all. And we have that with the Sounders, which is insane.
The fans are here, right? They've been here since day one. They're still rocking the kits.
Yeah.
And so wearing the gear. I think the testament to this community and the culture of this community and the culture of the club is that the players that have played in multiple markets, they live here. Yeah. And I'm looking at both of you right now and say, you guys are not from here, but you chose to settle up roots.
Absolutely.
And you look across five decades of players that lived overseas and live in different cities, like they can go and choose anywhere else to live, but they're still here. Yeah. There's something that speaks to the club and the club culture and the commitment and the connection between the fans and the club and like the next generation. And so I'm a transplant too. I'll put myself in that same conversation, but look at Jimmy Gabriel, look at Alan Hinton, look at Dave Gillett, look at all these guys, even the home run guys. So you got the local representation from Jimmy Mack, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Jordan.
Yeah.
But then you have all these others that still have chosen to be a part of this club and community. They've worn a lot of different crests, right? But they're still representing one in particular. It speaks for the club.
Yeah.
Give me two more things about downstairs. So the first one is like the entrance, right? Yeah. The player's focus. But is there two other...
You mean what's going to show up downstairs?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, there's... I'm doing my fly through in my mind right now. Yeah. So the front door for the club is going to be spectacular. Mm-hmm. That atrium that you walk into is a wow moment. That's not the front door that the players are going to walk in every single day, but it's going to be the door that anyone who's visiting the club is going to walk in and you see this statement piece. It was built for Boeing. And so how we combine this grandiose space with something that's like super grassroots and connected to the community, I think is part of the challenge for us is how do we make sure that it is authentic to the brand and that it tells our whole story, but it's also pushing us to where we want to be. From the player spaces, look, the locker room is going to be fired up. There's going to be a lounge. I think there's going to be a barbershop in there for guys to get lined up before matches. And so it's going to have this really unique intersection between sport and culture. And so... I think that is, it's going to be a space where you guys remember when you were training, like you show up, you put on your hard hair, your hard hat, and you put on your boots and you go play, but it wasn't the place that you lingered for a long time. No. And when you linger and you sit down and you share a mirror and you like, that's what builds locker rooms. And most of that stuff for us was done during preseasons or when you're on the road.
Right.
Now we have the ability to do that and here.
Even a state of the art weight room, for example, just to do your rehab and post, I think, just having everything in house.
No more Starfire classrooms.
No more. So but and again, it's crazy because when I came into I was like, wow, with Starfire when I came in. I left, I was like, this is right. So just to see where the league's gone, and it's exciting times. I want to touch one thing. Give nothing away, obviously, no leagues. There will be a new kit next year, right?
Yeah. Every year there's a new kit. New kit. We're on track for a new primary.
Kit next year, okay.
And it'll be the first kit that shows the evolved brand identity, which will be super fun.
Okay. I'm going to put you both on the spot now. What's been the single best kit the Sounders have had? Your favorite? I have one, and I'm sad. It's the one I didn't wear. I didn't wear it.
So, the one that is the first one that is in my drawer at home is Electricity.
I knew you were gonna say that.
And so, like third kits in general, right? Cool. The ability to do third kits is fun because it's the chance to push a little bit. When they came out with that highlighter yellow, I mean, like, I'm so pale. It was the worst thing for me visually. But the fact that the club could come out and make a statement like that and be bold, and I still remember Ozzy, slalomming through Chicago and throwing, like, scoring like that. That is that quintessential Electricity moment for me. And so despite the fact that I can't rock it with the same authenticity that you guys do, I'm going to put it in my drawer and have it at the top of the pile.
I really like the white heritage kit.
That's what I was going to
really?
Say.
Really? Yeah, yeah. I just, it was good. Finally, it felt like a throwback of sorts. Mm. And I love throwback stuff.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciated that one. I think I have one left.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. I was going to say the black Xbox one. I think it was 2014.
Pitch black.
Xbox.
With the neon.
But that's number two. Armor. I like the, is it Pacific Blue? What was it called? The blue.
Yeah, the blue.
Sky
that was,
blue shorts.
Was that not 14 also?
And I'm pitch, that was also 14. Yeah, both at the same time.
You're saying it was the darker blue, so it had lighter blue shorts.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm picturing Roman Torres wearing
Torres
it.
Torres and Chad. Yeah, we had an Xbox Chatty. Like Forza 7.
Yeah, we had a one-match.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Like that one?
That one there. Yeah. I wish I would have won that. Unbelievable. Yeah. Like, that is like...
That is really sick.
That was nice. I love the way it came out.
That's a good blue.
Yeah.
I think that's Chad's favorite,
too. I'm not gonna give anything away, but I'm super excited to see how the primary kit comes to life next year. Obviously, the badge is a big key piece of it, but it's a super interesting moment where we're trying to harness like this combination between like modernity and the moment and the future, but with this style of vintage, and it just like feels classic and timeless. Yeah. And so,
I'm excited to see what people think.
Ooh, amazing, a couple man. Buzzwords yeah, there. Vintage.
Timeless.
Timeless.
Yeah, this wasn't an SEO headline.
Yeah, we can't wait to see everyone light up on Reddit after those two
yeah,
words.
Yeah, I'm excited as well to
mock-ups.
See.
Give us your mock-ups.
Yeah, and everyone here likes the logo. Right? I love the logo, the branding.
Yeah, I think the branding's been
It's fantastic. Unreal. Yeah, really good. Yeah.
If anyone's listening, go to my Instagram or Raves and check out the reaction from when Sammy the Sounder walked out at the assembly today.
Really?
The kids, 350 kids, lost their mind. There could not be a better choice for a mascot. That's amazing. We sit here next to
his
cardboard cutout. Yeah.
Absolutely lost their mind. It was so fun and funny. That alone has been, and that's what's on the new shoe.
Yeah.
So the orca, the orca's on the tongue of the shoe. I'll tell one story before we go. So this was 2008, and there's a guy on the team, Josh Gardner, who just got engaged. And so there was an engagement party for the team, and we're having a bubbly water, and we're eating a carrot with some hummus. And Sammy shows up. Sammy shows up at the party. It's a full team party with friends and family. And Sammy's there kind of bouncing around. Some of the younger guys are jabbing him. And like at some point, you realize that Sammy's just there, but you go back to drinking your bubble water or whatever you're drinking. And then 45 minutes later, Sammy's head came off. It was Schmetz. It was Schmetz that showed up. And you see every single human start to rewind the last 45 minutes. And they're like, what did I just do?
Yeah, smacking his ass.
Is there anything that I'm going to have to pay the price for tomorrow?
training.
Right. And
that
so
is quite a
2008. So like, there's a lot of people that have donned Sammy. And I can say with 100% certainty that Schmetz is one of those
that's
characters.
Awesome.
Unbelievable. Absolutely amazing. That's a great, great note to end on.
Finding out Santa Claus is real. Oh my God.
I would have loved that. Amazing. Well, great stuff. We'll be back next week, and that will be the preview for the Sounders against LAFC. Such an exciting game to have, but lots to look forward to at the club. Of course, we spoke about the win against Dallas and next year the 50th anniversary, but present at hand right now.
For the 50th anniversary, by the way. Yes. So Fox 13, we're actually producing a club special that's coming out after we win MLS Cup. So make sure to tune in.
Yeah. We have business to take care of first. So LAFC, and then hopefully one of Houston and Kansas. And then, I mean, how crazy would it be? We can host. Yeah, we can.
We're on the road. We'd be on the road.
We'd be on the road.
Yeah, for MLS Cup, we have
regardless.
To be on the road. Regardless.
Yep. Support Shield, stand. Yeah, we got two more home matches this year, knock on wood.
Yeah, okay. Great stuff. All right, we'll be back next week. As always, comment, like, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate you for listening. This has been Side by Side.